Bibles with us tonight into Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. And I tell you what, I'm glad when we go through the storms of life and we go through the trials of life, we can call on Him. Amen. The doctors may not know, the family may not know, the financial people may not know, the politicians may not know, but praise God, I'm glad He knows. Amen. And as long as He knows, that's good enough for me. As long as He knows, He knows, I know everything that I need to know. Let me just put it that way. Amen. Because I trust everything unto Him. In Isaiah chapter 43, we'll read the first seven verses here. The Bible says tonight, you feel like standing, you want to give your feet and legs a break here for a minute. Why don't you stand as we honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth to even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Praise His name tonight. Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You, God, for the promises on the pages of Your word. And Lord, we thank You, God, that as we look unto them and as we read them, God, we find confidence, we find hope and help, Lord, that can only come from You. And God, we just ask You tonight to encourage our hearts and to help us, Lord, tonight to find in You everything that we stand in need of, and we'll praise You in Jesus' precious name. And we say, amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to tell you something tonight. This world is filled with problems. This world is filled with troubles and trials. There's storms that we're going to go through. There's fires that we're going to pass through. But praise God, we don't have to worry about a one of them. Amen. Amen. I told you last week that we can already see the tides. Maybe it had to be last week. The tides of the winds are changing. And I see in Massachusetts, how many went and looked up what I told you about last week was happening in Massachusetts already? Not a one of you, did you? Amen. Go check it out. Massachusetts has passed a law that comes into effect October 1st. And that law deals with transgendered people that come into your church and whatever. They have to be afforded the opportunity of whatever they choose to be when they come into your church. If it's not a private meeting, in other words, they say if it's a public meeting and it's open to the general public, what is our morning worship? What is our evening service? They're open to the general public. And fortunately, we don't have an issue here where, you know, we have to worry about a man going into a bathroom with one of our young ladies or one of our women. But the law in Massachusetts states that religious organizations that refuse to do that will be in violation of the law and will be subject to the penalties of the law, to arrest and prosecution and persecution. See, we always think these things are so far away. They're somewhere else, but they're coming home. Amen? The fire's coming. The storm is a-rolling. Now, I will say this. I would just as soon preach to a whole congregation. Amen? To a whole church house filled with LGBT people as I would to preach to you any morning. Amen? And I would count it an opportunity that's a privilege to be able to preach to them and to preach to them the love of Christ. I want you to understand that. I won't tolerate, or I won't in any way acknowledge any kind of meanness or ill favor towards anybody that needs to hear the gospel message. Amen. I want you to understand that right off. But the problem is not that. The problem is that we have a government now that is starting to breach that separation of church and state, and starting to mandate what the church can and can't do, what the church will preach and won't preach. And if Massachusetts is doing it, it won't be long till another state does it. And if they get this far with it in this realm, it's going to push into, and we've been knowing it's coming. We've been telling you. We've been warning you. But you see, here's the thing. A lot of folks start wringing their hands. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust Jesus. Amen. Amen. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to trust the Lord. Amen. We're going to allow Him to have His will. We're going to allow Him to have His way. We're going to allow Him to be our strength and our conscience and our God. We're going to allow Him to bring us through the storm. Amen. And I tell you what, I'm glad that He provides opportunity for us to preach the gospel and to reach out. You know, 99% of the folks that would come to your church aren't coming to cause problems anyway. But there are always those few that want to make the exception and want to try to cause an issue. And that goes on both sides, and it's both ways. But let's just be praying that God could intervene, and God could make things work the way that they should, that the love of Christ that was shed abroad will be shed abroad unto all men, amen, that they all might come to an understanding and a knowledge of salvation. God tells Israel here in the Word that they're going to have to wade through some deep waters. They're going to have to go through some fiery and trying times. He said, but don't worry about a thing. He said, I'm going to get you through it, and I'm going to take you through. And I want to preach to you tonight about getting through. Young people, you're facing things in life that many of us never had to deal with as openly and as blatantly and as forcefully as you guys are having to deal with. Amen. It's always been there, and it's always been in the background, and we dealt with it because it was hidden. But things are just being forced upon you and are coming to light today. Moms and dads are struggling trying to raise kids today in a society that tells them that you don't really have a right to how these children are raised. And the government now, the liberals really feel that it's wrong for you to raise your children how you see fit to raise them, and that they have a greater responsibility to raise your children than you do. Amen. And I realize that if you read and you keep up to date on these things, you'll know that it's real. We're not just making things up and coming up with this stuff off the top of our head, even if it is just on the internet. Amen. It's real, and it's a happening. Our politicians are desiring to take complete control of your life. And if they can control a generation, they can control the tides and the winds and the way that things shift in our society. Adolf Hitler found that out. You say, what's Adolf Hitler? He knew if he could manipulate the young people, he could manipulate a nation. And he manipulated the youth of his time. The Hitler Youth, or what they were called. And you know what the Hitler Youth were told? If you hear your parents talking against the Führer, if you hear your parents talking against the Reich, you report that. It's important, because they were indoctrinated that way. They were taught that way. And a whole generation were willing to go across Europe and slaughter untold millions of people mercilessly for the cause of a madman. You think it can't happen again? They know how to do it. They know how to do it. We're going through change. We're going through turbulent and troubled times. We're getting ready to have a presidential election with two of the most unqualified individuals running that has ever desired the office of the President of the United States. And it's just amazing that we've sunk so low that this is what we have to run. Amen? This is who we have to choose from. Turbulent times are coming. We don't know what's going to happen. There are many financial analysts that are predicting a great economic crash here in the very near future. We don't know. Turbulent times are coming. We see the spirituality of a nation that has declined to the place where we will promote Islam in our schools, but we won't allow a Bible in. Amen? They actually will teach the Quran in our schools, and they want our children to know the Quran and to be familiar with the Quran, and they want to shove that down their nose, but they don't want them to hear nothing about the Bible. Amen? We're living in troubled times, turbulent times, fearful times. But praise God, they're still God's times. Amen? He's still on the throne. And he's still in control. Israel was going through some turbulent times. They were dealing with the sin in their society. They were dealing with the sin in their personal lives. They were dealing with sin in their government. They were dealing with sin in their religious institution at the temple, how the priests and the prophets, the false prophets were profaning the law of God. And they were dealing with these things. But God sent a true prophet. God sent a man of God to tell them that if they would turn from their sin and they would repent, that he would heal their nation. He was sent to tell them that irregardless of what happened, there's always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be that bunch that is his, and that he knows, and that he will preserve, and that he will take care of. And here in Isaiah chapter number 43, God wants his people to know that he's their God and he loves them. He's their God and he cares for them. He's their God, and irregardless of what they're going through, praise God, he's going to get them through. And I want to preach to you tonight on getting through. Amen. I don't know what you're dealing with. Some of you in your families are dealing with storms and trials and troubles and turmoil. Let me tell you, he'll get you through. Some of you at the workplace, some of you in the school and other places are dealing with problems. Let me tell you, he'll get you through. Some are struggling with your own spiritual life. You're backslidden. You're far away from God. You're not where you need to be. Let me tell you something tonight. He says he'll get you through. Look at these seven verses with me real quick, and we'll go to the house. The Bible said in verse number one, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Amen. I tell you what, whenever you begin to fear and whenever you begin to be troubled because the waters are stirring, the fire is starting to get too hot, remember whose you are. Amen. God said, fear not. I've redeemed you. I've named you. Praise God. I'm glad I'm a Christian tonight. Amen. He said, because you're mine. Amen. I'm glad tonight I'm his. And I'm glad tonight I know that I'm his. And I'm glad tonight when I face uncertainties in my life, I don't have to worry about anything because I know whom I belong to. I know who's prepared for me all that I stand in need of, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves me. Amen. He says, fear not. Fear not. Are you his tonight? You know, the greatest question you got to ask yourself, are you his? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're his? I'm not talking about do you talk about it, but do you know? Amen. I'm not talking about are you just trying to make everybody think that you are, but that you know that you are. Are you his tonight? Because if you're his, you don't have anything to fear. But if not, hell is looming out before you. And destruction is what's awaiting you. He says, you're mine. And then in verse number 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? He says, because I will be with thee. Amen. I can look to the future. I can look to what's happening, and I can see the tides that are changing, the winds that are blowing, and the storms that are brewing. And praise God, they're out in the future ahead of me. But I'm not worried about a thing because he promised me that he will be with me when I go through these storms and these trials. Amen. Have you ever been through a storm and called on him and him not answer you? Have you ever been through a trial and needed him and he wasn't there? He might not have answered the way that you wanted him to. He might not have showed up when you wanted him to. He might not have done how you wanted him to, but praise God, he was there for you. Amen. Amen. And sometimes you didn't even realize he was there, but he was there all along. Amen. He was there. The psalmist said, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He'd never been there, but praise God, he knew when he got there who was going to be there to go through with him. Amen. And I know that tonight in my own life. I know that in the trials and troubles that are coming, I know that when death comes my way, that I don't have to worry about a thing, because he said he was going to be there for me, and he was going to be there with me, and he was going to get me through whatever it was that I had to go through. Amen. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. He said, I am the Lord thy God, thy Savior. Not just my God, but he is God. Amen. You know, we got people all over the world that they've got their gods. Amen. Some got this God, and some got that God. Some got graven gods, and some got the gods of nature and everything else. And everybody's got their gods. But I'm glad that my God is the God. Amen. My God is the one that spoke the world into existence. My God is the one that formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in him to the breath of life. My God is the one that sent his son to redeem me from the curse of sin. My God is the one who agonized on that old rugged cross and shed his precious blood that he might redeem me from the curse of sin. Amen. Amen. He's my Savior. Amen. He's my everything. Amen. He's more precious than silver and gold. He's more precious than my wife. He's more precious than my children. He's more precious than the wealth that God has given me. He's more precious than anything that this world can afford me. And my wife and my children and the things that God has blessed me with in this life, they're all important to me. I hold them dear. But he's more important than all that. He's above all that. He's beyond that. Why? He's my God. Amen. He's my God. And he deserves that place in my heart. He deserves that place in my life. And he deserves that recognition. I need to account when anybody asks me, do I believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. I believe in the living God. Amen. I believe in the saving God. Amen. I believe in the delivering God. He was the one that was with Abraham when he come out of Ur of the Chaldees. He's the one that was with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Amen. He's the one that was with Joseph as he went through the pit to the Potiphar's house, to the prison, into the palace. Praise God. He was with him all the way. He said he would be there. Amen. And he was there everywhere that he showed up. And God blessed him, and God prospered him, and God helped him. But praise God, tonight I don't just serve any old God, I serve the God. Amen. Amen. And he says he's my God. Amen. He says, I am the Lord thy God. Amen. I'm glad that He's my God. I'm glad that He claims me and allows me to claim Him. Amen. I'm glad there's nothing I can do to make myself worthy of Him. But praise God, He's done everything for me that He could, that He might save me and He might help me. Look at verse number 4. He says, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. He says, thou wast precious. Amen. Thou was precious. An old, dirty, filthy, stinking, no good, sinner deserving to be in hell was precious in the sight of God. I was so precious that He was willing to pay the highest price that has ever been paid to redeem something or someone from anything when He sent His Son to die for me. Thou was precious in my sight. I have loved thee. The thing about God is He never stops loving us. I was sharing in Sunday school class, I think it was this morning. Last night was sitting with Brother Jason McNeese and Brother Polk and his dad. We were sitting there and we were talking. And talking about how things are and how God loves us. And Polk says, you know, he said, I've stood on that mountain where Jesus, the Bible says, is going to look out over the army that's assembled before Him, that has come to make war with Him. And then out of His mouth is going to go destruction to destroy them, to where the blood will flow the horse's bridle. He said, I've thought about that. And he says, you know why I believe He looks out over that army that's assembled and desiring to destroy Him? He said, I believe He's looking for one more soul that would repent. One more soul that could be redeemed. Why? Because I love thee. It's not God's desire. Brother Jim read that scripture this morning over in Ezekiel. It's not God's desire that any should have to go to hell. It's not God's desire to have to destroy and punish any life. It's God's desire that all men should be saved. That all men should come to repentance. That all men should be able to go to heaven. Why? Because He loved us. For God so loved. For God so loved. That's an awesome song. Amen. For God so loved. Amen. There's an awesome song right there. For God so loved. But God commended His love. Amen. God commended His love. You know, God loves us. He loves us just like we are. And He loves us so much that He wants to change us, that we might take on His image in our lives. Look at what He says. Thou was precious. He sees me as precious. He says, thou hast been honorable. I want you to know something. There isn't anything in me that's honorable whatsoever. But He's seen something in me that was redeemable. He's seen something in me that was worth saving. The very breath of life that was breathed within me, that made me a living soul, was a touch from the Creator that gave me something worthy of Him looking upon and seeing worth that He was willing to redeem at a great cost. My righteousness is as filthy rags. My goodness is nothing whatsoever. But thou wast honorable. The only honor that I have at all was the fact that the soul within me, the thing that, the entity, that desire, however you want to describe it, that makes me the being that I am, was breathed into my body by the very breath of God. Amen. And if God created me, He created me honorable. And He seen something in me that He was willing to redeem. I have loved thee. Thou was precious. Thou was honorable. Praise God. He seen some value in me. Enough value in me that He was willing to give everything He had, that He might redeem me. Look at what He says in the first part of verse number 5. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. Praise God. You know, in verse number 2, He says, I will be with thee. We have the promise of His ever-abiding presence when we go through the trials of life. But in verse number 5, the first part of this verse, He says, fear not, for I am with thee. We have the assurance of His presence. You know, the thing about coming to church on Sunday morning, I don't come here to find Jesus. I come here with Jesus. Amen. Amen. I leave here with a little more of Him. Yes. Amen. A little closer to Him, but I come here with Him. Amen. He abides inside. Amen. When I go through the trials, He said, I will be there with thee. But when I get there, I find out that He's already come with me. Amen. You know why He's going to be there with me? Because He came with me. Amen. Praise His name tonight. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen when I get there. I've already got Him when I arrive. Amen. It's just that when I get there, He shows Himself strong. Amen. He shows Himself strong. We see the men in the Bible that went where God told them to go, went trusting God where He told them to go. And they didn't know how God was going to do things when they got there, but when they got there, praise God, they showed up. I think it was Hezekiah had the great army of Ethiopia that was before him. And they went out. No, it wasn't Hezekiah either. Who was it? It was over a million men had assembled against Israel. And God told him, said, you're just going out there and you just praise me a while. You're just going out there and you begin lifting up my name a while. You just going out there and don't even try to fight and just stand back and watch what I can do. You know what they found out when they got there and they started praising God? And God started doing what He was, God was right there with them. Amen. They didn't get to the battle and God showed up at the last minute like the cavalry on the old cowboy movies. When they got there, praise God, they took Jesus with them. Amen. And when they started praising and they started singing and they started uplifting His name, they found out they didn't have to wait for Him to show up because, praise God, He was already there and the enemy was defeated. It's over in Chronicles, I think. I could zero in on it if I had time to stop and look for it for a minute. But praise God, just from praising God, they realized He was there already. You know what? Paul and Silas there in that Philippian jail, About midnight, they began to singing and praising. And Jesus made himself known in a mighty way. Amen. You know what? I've been in some dark and troubled places in my life. But I've always found that if I just start praising him. Amen. He just calms things right away. He just changes the situation. Amen. And he can turn a trial into a triumph. He can turn a trial into a blessing. He can turn a trial into a strengthening instant or thing that you've went through, a strengthening a problem that you've dealt with that has made you stronger than you was before. But he says, I will be there with you. And then he says, fear not, for I am with you. Amen. Assurance of his presence abiding with us right now. Assurance that no matter where we go and what we're going through, he's going to be there. Amen. I'm thankful I got a God that loves me enough that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. Amen. He's never been unfaithful unto me. The end of verse 5 and verse number 6, he says, I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from and my daughters from the ends of the earth. He said, I will bring thy seed. You know what? He says, though the world has scattered you and though you've been cast out, praise God, I will restore. Amen. I will bring back. And praise God, no matter what sin has broken, God can restore. Amen. He restored our relationship with God through his son. He restores our relationship when we sin and we go back and we find repentance and we ask him to cleanse us and to forgive us of our sins. He restores broken families. He restores broken anything that will give unto him and will trust unto him. And praise God, if we lose everything we got and we have Jesus, we find out that we have all we need, and he'll restore to us what we need anyway. Amen. Amen. Find it. Asa, there you go, yep. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, yeah. I know I'd zero in on it. It just took me a few minutes if I would have. But I love that story. I love that account. Amen. And God's deliverance. But I'm glad that he restores. He said, I will. You know what? I don't have to try to. He does. Amen. I can't, but he can. I can't, but he will. I can't, but he does. And praise God, all I got to do is trust him because he's my God. And then lastly, in verse number 7, I look at what he says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Praise God. He says, I have made him for my glory. You know why we were saved? We've been saved for God's glory. Amen. You know why we've been saved and redeemed? To give God the glory for what he's done. You know why he saved us and redeemed us from the curse of sin? That we might glorify him in our lives. We were unworthy of his love. We were unworthy of his son. We were unworthy of the sacrifice. But praise God, because he redeemed us, our very lives and the very fact that we've been redeemed, give glory unto him. Y'all missed that, didn't you? The very fact that God loved you enough to save you gives glory unto him. And the very fact that he saved you and gave you the opportunity to give glory to him ought to make us desirous to let the whole world know how good our God is. And how great he is and how much he cares for us. I'm called by his name. I'm a Christian. I want to be used for his glory. I want to be the clay and him the potter and to make me what he wants me to be. Hey man, you ever seen a craftsman that just makes things? I mean, go on Pinterest and you see people take junk, just junk, And man, they take his junk and they make all kinds of neat things out of it. Hey man, I'm talking about junk that people have thrown away. They go gather it up, and some folks can weld this stuff together and make some of the prettiest things. I seen a guy made a ball, a big old globe, out of gears. And how he got it so round and so perfect and everything, I don't know, but it's neat. Another guy made a table out of old wrenches and old gears and old pieces of this and that. Yeah, you can turn me on to that. She said, you ought to look at Pinterest. You ought to look at Pinterest. You ought to look at Pinterest. Now there's more junk on there to look at, and it'll suck you right in. But a guy took, he made a tabletop out of all this stuff, and it's all perfectly flat. And perfect. It's just pretty junk. And the artist will ascribe his name to it. He wants everybody to see it and everybody to know it. The potter makes a vessel. Amen. And even in the schools, so some of the most sought-after pottery that you can find in America today is some pottery that was made by these different schools. Some of them were women's schools, young ladies' schools, and they would go to these schools, and they were famous for making these pottery pieces of pottery. And the pottery is ascribed to the school, but sometimes you find a piece that has the artist's name on it, the young lady that made it, and it brings big money. They were proud of it. They put their name on it. C.F. Martin made some of the prettiest guitars and some of the nicest guitars that have ever been created. He wasn't ashamed to put his name on it. Rembrandt and Van Gogh and all these great art masters. They put their name on it because they want people to know that they created this masterpiece. They've created this thing that is going to give glory. God has put his name on you and I that have trusted him as our Redeemer and as our Savior. And he wants you to stand out, and he wants you to show up and to be used to give glory unto him. Your every action, your every desire, your every move in life should be to give glory unto God. That should be our greatest desire in everything that we do. Is this going to glorify God? But he says, don't worry about a thing, because I'm going to get you through. You're everything to me, but let me be everything to you. You're mine. I'm with you. I'm the Lord your God. I'm your Savior. I'm the one that loves you. I'm the one that's with you. I'm the one that will restore you. I'm the one that has created you. I'm everything you need. No matter what you're going through, I'm all you need. And if I'm all you need, why do you look for anything else? Why do you want anything else? Why do you long for anything else? I don't know about you, but I find it a whole lot easier getting through. Amen. Knowing that I have him to get me through. Stand our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes.